Praise the Lord Jesus. This is Thurman Scribner with the Living Savior Ministries. This teaching we're going to do is going to be on a subject about demons and how they work and how they get access to us. I trust you will enjoy this. At the end of the teaching, we'll have a website and a phone number where you can get these teachings free, but we're going to go into the teaching, and you hope you enjoy this very much in Jesus' name.
But we went back into the book of Job, and it was very clear as we reviewed the book of Job who the enemy was. The enemy was Satan, and we saw everything when the tornadoes come, when we saw when he killed the children, whenever he even rained down fire from heaven and consumed the crops. That, what do you think that must have been? I mean, lightning, or what do you think that was? Any ideas? I mean, it says fire fell from heaven and set the crops on fire and burned them up. You know, today, when those kind of things happen, who is it that we contribute that to? Most people say that was an act of God, right? Even your insurance company says that was an act of God. Well, they've got it partially right. It was an act of God, but what God? An act of the God of this world, which is Satan. In other words, the Lord don't go around sending tornadoes and lightning and strong winds and all these things to kill, steal, and to destroy, does he, Wayne? No, the Lord don't send those kind of things. If James chapter 1, verse 17 says, all good and perfect gifts come from the Father, then if it's good and perfect, who's it coming from? From the Lord. But John 10:10 says, the thief comes to kill, steal, and to destroy. So if there's killing, stealing, or destroying going on around your house, who's got the upper hand around your house? The devil. You know, that's the way you can tell. It's very easy. You know, so we don't understand that we wake up in the morning, and as Christians, we've been programmed to the world system. You wake up in the morning and you just have a headache. What did you see last night on a commercial? If you have a headache, this is the best remedy for it going, right? Is that what you see? So what do? You go down to the store, grocery store, the pharmacy or whatever, and you pick up some of that medicine and you take it, and maybe your headache goes away then or a little while later, and you say, yeah, that was good stuff. So, but what could you do to get rid of your headache? You could take authority over that pain in the name of Jesus and command that pain to leave you in Jesus' name. And if you can do that by faith, it'll leave you. It'll leave you. You don't have to be sick anymore. You don't have to let the devil beat up on you. When you wake up in the morning and you've got problems, or like this lovely lady was telling me back here, she said she heard the voice of someone say to her, I have come to kill you. Guess who that was? Satan. Because the Lord promised you life and long life. So if the Lord promised you life and long life and somebody says, I've come to kill you, it's very easy to tell who's talking to you. The devil. But what do so many people yield to? You know, they yield to those wrong thoughts. You wake up in the morning, you think you're going to have In fact, most people in the church, when Satan begins to come upon them with a pain on a symptom, he'll come up so sly, and you begin to get a pain in your finger or in your hand or something, and you're past 40 or 50 years old. And what does the average Christian begin to say? Oh, absolutely right. And I'm over 40. I'm over the hill. I'm getting so old, I must be coming down with arthritis. And the instant you say that, guess who you give legal right to give you arthritis? Satan. See? So, if you begin to speak what you want, in fact, I'm going to make a comment here before we even get into the scriptures any deeper than we are, that the world that you live in is a direct result of what you have said with your mouth. You have spoken into existence the world that you live in. That's kind of devastating, isn't it, Ferry? To think about that, you speak the world into existence that you live in because of not knowing the Word of God, not understanding who you are, you speak the wrong things. Last night there was a 73-year-old lady called me on the prayer line, and everything out of that lady's mouth, she was a Baptist. Whenever she said, "I'm a Baptist," and I said, "Well, ma'am, I'm a Baptist deacon," she said, "Good, I can talk to you." So as we begin to talk, she said, "I'm so old. I can't do this. I can't do that." And after a few minutes, I told her, I said, "Ma'am, you don't believe God's Word or you don't know much about it." She said, "What do you mean?" I said, "Jesus said in Philippians 4:13, you can do all things through Christ which strengthens you. Did it not?" "Well, yes," she said, "I've heard that, but you see, I can't do that." I said, "Wait a minute now." And so it was an awesome battle for about 20 minutes with this lady on the phone until I finally got her to realize that she was a princess. She was not just a lady. She was a princess. She was a queen. She was a daughter of the King of the universe. That she was a joint heir with Christ. That she, even 1 Corinthians chapter 6, Paul even says, "Do you not know that you are Christ?" Now, most people, you tell them, "Do you know you're Jesus?" And do you know you're Jesus? I mean, does that kind of set you back, really, to stop and think about whenever I see you, or when the devil sees you, Ann, you know who he sees? He sees Jesus. He don't see Ann. He sees Jesus. Now then, why do you think he's tried to deceive us and get us to believe all these wrong things? Because if we, as the body of Christ, ever get a hold of the fact that we are anointed with the Holy Spirit and power just exactly like Jesus was on this earth, and we're supposed to do the same things he did on this earth, not only the same things he did, but John 14:12 says we are to do greater things than Jesus did in his name. You know, this little lovely little young lady that's our EPA agent that we've just hired, she's 32 years old. She spent about 3 hours with me yesterday. We were looking at equipment, and right after we got left lunch, I asked her, I said, "Young lady, are you a Christian?" "Oh, yes, yes, yes." I said, "Where do you go to church?" She said, "Well, the Baptist church." I said, "Okay, great." I said, "I go to the Baptist church." And I began to talk to her about the mighty things of God. And her eyes got big. And she said, "We never hear things like that in my church." I said, "Well, that's a shame. It's in the Bible." I said, "But Jesus is doing wonderful things today." And I would tell her, I said, "You see that man right there?" She said, "Yes." I said, "Last year, that man that works for me, that man had cancer. And he came into my office, and I told him, I said, you should have quit smoking. I've tried and tried to get you to quit smoking, and he would not until he got this diagnosis from the doctor that he had lymphoma cancer in his lungs. And then he walked in my office, and he said, 'Thurman, I'll never smoke another cigarette.' I said, 'Are you willing to make God that promise?' He said, 'I will.' I said, 'Okay, you do it. You tell the Lord you're sorry that you abused your body. You're sorry that you have done these devastating things to your body.' And I said, 'Tell the Lord and make him a promise you'll never smoke another cigarette.' And he did. And then I looked right at his body and I said, 'Now then, I command that cancer to die in the name of Jesus. I command that cancer cells, every one of them, to die in Jesus' name.' I told him, I said, 'Now then, you can go, Bob. Your cancer is dead.' So he went the next Thursday and they done the biopsy with a long needle down through his lungs, and they pulled out and they took samples, and every one of those were dead. Now then, that was beyond his comprehension. He's not really been in church that much. He's really not been serving God that much. But he said, "Thurman, they still want to go ahead and do the surgery. The doctor can't believe that all the cancer could be dead. It just happens the one he took the samples were dead." I said, "So now you have a choice to make. Are you going to fight the good fight of faith and believe God and know you're healed? Or are you going to do what the doctor says and let them cut you open?" He finally said, "Well, I'm going to have to let them go in there and look." I said, "Okay." So They went in there and opened him up, cut his lungs up open, and went in and took all the black spots out, and the diagnosis came back. Every one of them was stone dead. But now, when I told this lovely young lady that, she said, "No, that's unbelievable." I said, "Well, there he stands. Go ask him." And he said, "Yeah, that's exactly what happened." And she says, "How do these things work?" I said, "Well, see, young lady, that goes to show me that you don't know anything about your Bible." And we'd be walking around and say, "You see that precious little lady right there?" She said, "Yes." I said, "She came in my office 3 years ago, and I led her to Jesus and laid hands on her, and she had cancer, and Jesus healed her. Within a week, her cancer was totally gone." "No, it can't be. It's unbelievable." Folks, you want to know why most of us don't ever see any miracles? That's right. We don't expect it. And God says when you ask for these kind of things, you must believe with no doubt. So how are you going to go around saying, "No, these things don't work. I don't believe that. That's unbelievable." If you do that, you'll never see a miracle from the Lord, will you, Wayne? Never. You'll never see a miracle from God. You got to believe these things work. If you can find in the Word of God where you can have something, then you're going to have to believe God for it, or it's not going to work for you. It's that simple. So why do you think most of the church today don't ever see a mighty answer to a prayer? Because, first of all, they've not been taught these things. Right, Orsha? They've not been taught these things. It never ceases to amaze me that the people that I minister to, that who knows what kind of denominations they're from, everything, Baptist, Methodist, Catholic, Pentecostals, you name it, it just never ceases to amaze me the people that don't believe God meant what He said when He made you a promise. You know? There's a word in the Bible that's the biggest word. I want you to turn in your word if you have it. I want to start right here today on this review with Matthew 17.
Stop right there on the teaching today, but we will take up tomorrow right there at the same place. I hope you've enjoyed this teaching. If you'd like these teachings in their entirety, if you would contact us at 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106, and ask for the teachings on the question and the answer. And if you want to go to our website, you can go to www.tlsm.org, and there you can order all the free teachings that you want. We have them there. Just remember, Jesus Christ is our King and our Lord, and He's a mighty God, and we love serving Him. If we can do anything to help you, just contact us. We'll be happy to pray for you or try anything to meet your needs.